Good afternoon. Good, happy 4th of July afternoon. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor. Out of the second, Cliff Clendenin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy
Thanks
fireworks.
For having me.
Yeah. Obviously, this one isn't live, guys, so don't get too impressed with us here today.
Yeah.
got a number of different things to talk about. Get an update on the general plan. See if there's been any movement there. That's the opportunity for the crowd laughter to be put in underneath us.
Okay.
As a crowd. Yeah, okay. We'll also talk a little bit about the rails to trails, the concept, the proposal, the discussion that happened last week. What does it mean for the future of the railroad around Humboldt Bay? Do they complement or is it one over the other? We'll talk about that. And a couple of other things I'm sure will weave its way into the discussions this afternoon when we return.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Cliff Clendenin.
Who's a non-golfer.
Good. Well, then this one, you can probably fill in the blanks on this one and not miss the essence of this.
Okay.
You ready? No, I have no idea who Scott Hamilton is. Who's the quote source. So we got to go with, he's probably not the...
Isn't he a skater?
Ice skater.
I'm gonna expose my athletic ignorance here.
You know about figure skating, but not about golf. Okay. So if you start finding little yellow or orange or white circles in your orchard, okay, those are guys from the golf course practicing their long hits.
Actually, there was a guy at the oil change place across 12th Street who used to practice his...
chipping?
High chip shots, and my dad would gather up golf balls and take them back over to him. He never injured any workers or family members.
Our quote this afternoon, that's what makes the Ryder Cup and golf so much better than the Masters of the U.S. Open, to be part of something that is not about personal achievement, but about representing everyone and sharing it with the whole country. It's wonderful.
Great.
See, it worked, didn't it?
I never didn't you know didn't, I was going to get sandbagged here or not.
You so. Didn't think, did you? Let's talk a little bit about the general plan, Cliff, and we'll start low and build up. How thick is this thing?
I almost brought it in with me, but it's a couple inches, and
we didn't have the little gurney to help wheel it on in.
The version I'm going through is basically is a compilation of it's almost a recitation of what happened at the Planning Commission. Includes a brief summary of their comments, which commissioner, and having watched some of them, not all, you can. It's a pretty good summary through there, and then what we've got from the primary piece that we need to get through in the next few months, and just to recap, the document, the process has been going on a decade, but it's been took a 3-year run in front of the Planning Commission, and now is in front of our Board of Supervisors. So, planning staff at a minimum says that, obviously we need to review the whole document, but in particular we need to review the tie votes and the split votes, and that number is something like 30 policies out of about 1,000.
3-4% isn't that bad.
Yeah. Actually, not 1,000 policies, but there was about that many individual votes. So there was 10 just complete ties, and that would be, of course, with one commissioner missing to have a 3-3. But they were really significant pieces. I think one of the key ones there is... should housing in timberland, to what level is it permitted, and should it be associated with timber harvesting or not? And then that spawns a huge discussion. So, and then there's some other policies that were either 4-3 votes or with a couple people absent, 3-2 votes. And those are the basic ones we've need to look at. And then what we've said to the public and any other groups is, add to that short list if there's some significant pieces that you'd like us to consider. Well, that's run the gamut from some groups that have said, we want you to look at the whole dang thing, which basically is asking for another 3 years in front of the Board of Supervisors. Some people have added, 5 or 6 policies that we'd like to look at. So what we've tasked staff with at our last Monday session was go back and see if from the realtors, the home builders, the Healthy Humboldt, Farm Bureau, whoever, is there some commonality of ones?
Of concern.
Ones, are there some significant pieces that show up on all the lists? And I would say those would be the number one group we should add. Personally, I don't think it's useful to go through the whole document. Some of this is state law. There's no public value in debating that, where we can't affect a change.
That's what I would think, that if I was, I guess, in front of the podium, I would suggest that you guys, the stuff that you really don't have determination on, okay, that's all out.
Why burn the community energy?
Because there's no discussion points at at the county level. Now there might be discussion points up the ladder.
Sure, and then
great.
That's
wrong
also
wrong venue for the discussion.
Exactly. Let's advance something to put in our legislative platform. Work with our consultants and legislators, and because we certainly have a significant voice. To do that. But like you say, wrong venue here.
Yeah. And then what is left, that's what I would start looking at as far as some of the discussion points. And I guess before we get into this, we'll take a break and then we'll be back after the update. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Cliff Clendenin.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Cliff Clendenin. Cliff, as you look at the general plan update and where you guys are now starting to wrestle with this thing, I guess I fall under this thing started so long ago, so many rules and things have changed. Has anybody during this process gone back to the first meeting as that input came in, whether it was facts or legislative or whatever, and brought it up to current? As I remember, I think one of the triggering things was in Phillipsville with the motorcycle guys wanting to keep doing what they'd been able to do for years, and all of a sudden somebody didn't like it. And then things kind of spurred off of that. And the reason I say that is because I would personally have a very difficult time voting for a document that I hadn't read, that I wasn't familiar with, that I couldn't stand behind and say, yes, this is it. Because you guys are trying to swallow the python. No, you're trying to swallow the pig. Instead of going element by element by element by element.
Well, and built into this
you're
process.
You're going after the whole thing,
built
right?
Built in process into this process for the future, and I don't know whether this is a statewide or nationwide move, but built into this, we're going to future boards and future planning commissions through time are going to take small bites of this and review this, if not annually, often.
So it's an ongoing process,
yeah,
rather than...
So we're yeah, because, you know, and you almost have to fix a point in time, and everything that our planning staff is doing is directed by state law and the Office of Planning and Research, and is compliant with general plan update practices. But you have to fix a point in time because, yeah, a couple people got born yesterday, so your statistics on population are out of date, but you have to fix some kind of point. I mean, and the science and things change. I want to talk later a little more about sea level rise and some of those things, but you know, they can't be in this document. I mean, they, you know, it'll be at the next, you know, all the changes that are coming down the pike will be in the next review.
So why not do that now? As we were talking about earlier, all the stuff that state, well, things that are set aside because we can't discuss them at the county level and have any influence. Why not adopt those and then only have the discussion about the local stuff?
Well, because
basically... Can you pull it out?
Basically, any... you know, here we are, the five of us working on this document here, starting June. So, you know, the plan is to maybe in a period of something like 5-6 months go through this. But... so this is our task now, but any duly elected board, and there'll be two new members on the board, Rex Bone and Estelle Fennell joining Virginia Bass, Ryan Sundberg, and Mark Lovelace in 2013. And what we don't get done, that new board will pick up. And then, you know, a duly elected board like that with a noticed meeting, they can make any changes they want. And, you know, that'll be theirs to do. So our task is to take, you know, this work, the planning commissions, you know, a dozen planning commissioners over 3 years, take that work.
Well, public hearings over 10 or 15 years, too.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's been a lot.
But I don't see the value in basically, I mean, you legislatively, you can't go back and start plugging new numbers in to a document. I mean, you have to kind of at some point in time, you know, say, look, this is a wrap. We're taking this through the process, you know, pass, fail, whatever. And then certainly, you know, like I've, you know, new data is changing all the time.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you have faith in the numbers?
Yes.
That are in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Rex, sometime in the middle of this first go through, is going to presumably be a voting member.
Yeah, if the governor accepts,
presuming that would be the
accepts
case.
Our board's request.
Yeah,
we had a 5-0 vote to ask to have him.
It seems like it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
No, whether or not, and I hesitate to use that phrase, but let's say that in fact that is the case.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rex comes on in the middle, and I know he and Jimmy are working close to get things rolling. But Rex has different constituencies than Jimmy does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys are probably hearing from some of those already, either directly or indirectly. Those voices, those questions, will there be time for those to be answered? Or is the momentum and the effort and the push to get this thing through, because that would put it at about, what, 4 or 5 weeks away from when you guys want to vote on this thing. Is there enough time, or will those voices have an opportunity to be heard?
Well, unless there's a surprise group that I'm unaware of, I think Rex's constituents and you know, right, left, and center have been, you know, in the room. And so you know, certainly he won't vote identically to Jimmy. No two supervisors do. In fact, no supervisor's handpicked planning commissioner votes exactly like he does either. So that's the variety we work with.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with 2nd District Humboldt County Supervisor Jimmy. Why, Jimmy's on my mind. We were talking about him. Cliff Clendenin. Cliff, with Jimmy stepping out, is that going to slow up the process with the general plan, with the adoption, with everything, or do you really sense that this is just going to continue?
It'll continue. I mean, there's nothing is, you know, and I know you're going to laugh when I say that there's nothing fast about this process. So, and I know Rex is coming
Those are tears of pain, not tears of humor.
I know Rex is coming up to speed, and I've offered him, you know, any help I can give him to and I know others have as well, to, you know, get him up to speed and going. And he's certainly, you know, like a lot of concerned citizens, been, you know, paying attention to this from afar, I don't see a problem with him blending in here.
The trails to rails discussion. Notice the smooth segue here. Is that part of the general plan document?
No, not at all.
Why wouldn't it be as a land use issue? Does the general plan encompass? What doesn't it include?
I mean, the general plan, if you want to, you know, look at the implications of language, you know, we're going to encourage economic development, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, I mean, it really covers almost every aspect of life in Humboldt County. So I think it encourages trail development, walkable communities, all those kinds of things. On the other hand, it considers or encourages commerce, be that STAA access into the county, fiber optic redundancy, which we finally have now, shipping and I think there's some lines in there, and I think that's one of the policies some groups want to discuss is, you know, have you nailed down, with the east-west route interest, have you really nailed down that you're encouraging this? So, but yes, I would say the general plan covers all of that interest. And then that came to our discussion, but no, it's not this Bay Trail idea as a specific thing is not called out. But that tension between economic development and planning for the future, both for a trail or both for a rail, certainly came to full flower in the boardroom last Tuesday.
Let me ask you a question. If you're in a community that is not influenced by a four-year institution, so we can't use Davis, can't use Chico, can't use Humboldt, how much bicycle activity is there really of people commuting?
The easier it is, the more there will be. I mean, and then the buses with their bike racks, I see those getting flopped down where people
right.
will bike to the bus.
Come
in on the bus,
yeah,
you know, and then they can go to the far, you know, if they worked up, in this part of town, for instance, they could,
I don't see a lot of bicycle commuting in Reading. I don't see a lot in Medford. I don't see a lot of them in neighboring communities that are roughly our size. Maybe they're a little bit larger.
My planning comment would be the better you plan the community, the more of that you will have.
Yeah, but half of Reading is new within the last 20 years or so.
Right, and it's huge and sprawled out, so it's more difficult to navigate that way.
Right, but it's easier to avoid the heavy traffic so you don't have the bicycle collisions or to build in those bike trips. I'm just wondering, I know it's very PC and I know it's very trendy and I know there's a very strong segment of the society that is rah, 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 rah. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a cost factor one way or the other.
It's also state law now in the that we need to consider the...
So why doesn't Caltrans in the safety corridor allocate in the center divide or protected space.
Well, because of the fact that...
Provide that.
I'm not letting you finish. But,
I'm going with
it. Oh, exactly. Yeah. And I've asked Charlie Fielder, our district director, that same question. And, you know, certainly they are mandated now. And Cheryl Willis, the deputy director that spoke at our hearing, said that, yes, we are mandated now, and we consider all modes of transportation. So,
other than skateboards.
They're certainly interested
Remember
in this as
Remember the argument
well.
In Arcata? Right, it was skateboards and bicycles. I mean, they were linked.
But one of the challenges with the safety corridor area, the 101 corridor between Eureka and Arcata, is even that ditch in the center is considered a functioning wetland. Maybe not as high functioning as some of the other pieces. So the more that you
but that doesn't dismiss their responsibility, does it?
Doesn't dismiss their responsibility, but when you look at the cost factor of maybe scooting the travel lanes over so that the bike lane could be on the next to the eucalyptus on the on the bay side.
Yeah, scoot it out a couple of feet. About 3 feet?
You know, I'm not a wetland mitigator, but that's a lot of money to do that.
But isn't it? Okay, and that's direct cost.
Right. So what I'm encouraging as we our board voted to send this modified letter to the North Coast Rail Authority, of whom I'm chair this year, what I'm hoping we get out of this is not finger pointing or a polarization, but let's have a good conversation with Caltrans, NCRA, our operator, John Williams of NWPCO at the table, the trail advocates, the And we made quite a list. In fact, we added to the list to include the advocates and planners looking at the east-west rail route, the possibility of that.
I would think they would be the most critical player in here, because if they're successful, they need this.
They do. And so what I have said, I mean, as a trail advocate myself, what I have said to my fellow trail advocates is, and so I'm not averse to thinking about even doing trail on the rail and having that, you know, replace that usage for now, but we absolutely need to build in. It's built into the Rail Banking Surface Transportation Board law, but on a local level, we need to absolutely have a second plan. And Marcella Klamet HCOG has assured me that's actually in there. It's much higher cost because you're talking about mitigating wetlands alongside.
So we're right back to the same cost factor, right?
Yeah. Well. So I think...
So why not do a permanent solution that doesn't interrupt the potential of attracting rail? Because I know, we've been around here long enough, now that we're both, well, graying. That would be a reference to you. Me, I've
If I grow a beard like you, I'll be at least as gray. So.
Once it goes into effect, even if it's a shared purpose, 5 years down the road, the new folks coming in will say, it's always been this way, we need to keep it this way. And then we start getting into the battle again. About
well, that's why I think we can nail that on the front end, have that embedded in the documents, embedded in the law, embedded in everything in the memorandums of understanding, so that that doesn't occur. But if we mitigate wetlands in the Caltrans Highway Corridor now, or mitigate wetlands next to NCRA, you're talking about probably a $30 million cost of taxpayers' money. So my feeling would be, why not get the public use out of this at the best bang for the buck from the taxpayer now, and then spend that money? That'll be a trivial amount of money if we have rail service restored. In having just been part of an organization that spent $60 million, about $1 million a mile, getting connection from the UP line up as far as Windsor, and we've got successful freight traffic happening on that route, and we're actually helping now with the smart passenger train.
What's the payback on that $60 million? What's the payback time?
Oh, it'll be enormous. But I would say it'll be almost infinite. But the and just to even pull that number out of the equation, we're struggling now with for the last few years that we're only. We're just a year into rail traffic down there, freight rail traffic. It's small, but it's growing. But the federal government has they have money available to restore lines, recognizing the economic value to the community. So it's
let's put the trail in, okay? And you win. There are
really don't want to be looking at it that way, but go ahead. Well, okay. For the purposes of discussion,
the perspective. Okay. You've got the slough bridge. You've got the mini slough bridges. You've got the areas out in Arcata that aren't being maintained now. How do you get a trail across a railroad bridge and have it safe at the same time when there is rail traffic going on? Or in some of these other areas where either you're going to have to be replacing bridges, and I can only imagine what the environmental cost on that would be, to replace some of these old historical ones and make it safe for walking or bicycling at the same time a choo-choo train is coming past.
Well, you know, it's certainly a wider facility if it's going to accommodate both the trail and the rail. Again, without being an engineer, I've looked under some of those bridges, the Gannon Slough Bridge and some of those others more on the Arcata side. Some of those are really rough shape. They would probably be adequate, again, a non-engineering opinion, they would probably be adequate for bicycle and pedestrian traffic. I would say they'd likely not be adequate for, and they would need...
Yeah, they haven't been maintained in years. They have to be beefed up.
And they would need to be rebuilt for, and of course, at this day and age, not creosoted posts going in, but they'd be cement posts and that sort of
thing. Ergo the EIR stuff, yeah.
All, you know, Trinidad Pier style.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there'd be a fairly significant expense for that. I think my thought here is let's don't spend a vast amount of money holding open a rail corridor that's not being used. Let's get a trail in there now, get the public benefit out of that, have all the plans in place so that we could, when it looks like, I think we even need to hold open the possibility, even if the East-West never happens, because that, I mean, you know, I think any rational person would have to say that could be valuable, but in terms of dollars and time and California Environmental Quality Act analysis, difficult, if not remote. But I think we might even want this short line from South Fork, Scotia to Humboldt Bay.
Yeah, the Scotia out to the Spit.
What if we had $10 fuel? Humboldt Redwoods is growing more trees all the time than they're harvesting, higher quality. We've got a lot of gravel-choked rivers. On a restoration base, we could be moving gravel.
There's some stuff to consider.
We might need that, and I don't think we should foreclose that responsibility.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:45. We'll be back with more from Cliff Clendenin.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:49. We're back to talk shop. Final moments with Cliff Clendenin. Happy 4th of July, buddy.
And happy 4th of July to you and Ken's listeners.
Yeah, don't burn anything down. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.